So, what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Okay, I told you I have a confession to make. Are you listening? And this is not a bless me, Father, for I have sinned moment. But some people might view it that way. Possibly. I am a total granola mom. I'm totally crunchy granola person. I mean, what can you expect? Anyone here in the Midwest may say, okay, you are from California, the land of the fruits and the nuts. But I don't know. I like the way my mom parented. I like the way my great-grandmother parented. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in those so-called hippie tricks, so much so that people are afraid of them because they're not so-called conventional. So come at me, hippie mamas, holistic mamas, whatever you call yourself. I would love to hear from you today. We're going to talk about this a little later during the show. The number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can head over now to my social media, find me at Timory, especially on Instagram, and you can share with me your hacks, your mom hacks. What are your go-tos? I would love to hear from you. Now, perhaps you are not a hippie, crunchy, granola person or granola mama, but maybe you've heard of some things that you are curious about and you'd like to throw it out there. Maybe I've tried it. Maybe another mom's tried it. We would love to hear from you. And yes, Karen, I eat avocados and walnuts. Walnuts are great for reducing inflammation and they're high in fat. And avocados are high in fat, too. But, you know, out here in the Midwest already, your avocados are kind of sad. I'm sorry to say, your avocados are sad. I come from Avocado Central, and I don't know what to do about these avocados. So maybe you have a hack from that. So come at me. The number's 1-888-914-9149. In the meantime, I want to talk a little bit about exploiting others and how we need to remember to use things and not people. And this came to the forefront of my mind when I was reading the story about Taylor Swift. And by the way, joining me in just a little bit, Father Tim Grumbach from the Diocese of Los Angeles will be jumping on here on Trending. And we're going to talk about transhumanism. That's right, transhumanism. Are you interested in crypto freezing? Have you thought about Elon Musk's brain chip? Well, we'll be talking about some of these things in just a little bit. So Taylor Swift has made the news, has made the Twitter hashtag yet again. She is yet another T-Swift bomb has dropped. This time she's offended because there's a show, Degrassi, Next Class on Netflix. There's a line in the show that was said by one of the characters and it says this, Taylor Swift made an entire career off of her exes. And then there's another one from Jenny and Georgie. I think it's Georgie, not George. And again, I did not watch either of these shows. I was just reading about it. And this is what it said in this show. Come on, Netflix. This is what they say. What do you care? You go through men faster than Taylor Swift. So Taylor Swift has a reputation for not only going through multiple gentlemen, but also using them to get ahead in her career. You don't want to break up with Taylor Swift gentlemen because you will be written about. You will become a top song. And everyone will now be singing about you. So over the weekend, a hashtag broke. Hashtag respect Taylor Swift. And part of the reason why this came out is because it's Women's History Month. And we need to be nice to women because it's Women's History Month. And don't you know you can't say anything about someone having an ex? Don't you know you can't say anything that could possibly be so-called misogynistic or insulting to women because it is our month. Do you understand? So if you are offended by the fact that I'm a hippie mama, you can't say it because that's sexist. Maybe someone will write a story about me and say that you are being sexist because you made fun of me being a totally granola, crunchy hippie mom. Patrick's eating yogurt, though. Patrick, do you have granola with your yogurt? No? No, okay. He's like, no, I do not have granola. By the way, Patrick, these behind the scenes, and this is a total tangent for a moment here. behind the scenes, it's dinner time during the show in the Midwest. And so they're having some snacks. And when I was pregnant, Patrick would always be eating food during this hour. And I would be so hungry because I could see him. We have a video chat going. And he would be eating his yogurt. Like, please stop eating while I'm on the show. I just wanted to eat too. The baby was talking there. So Taylor Swift gets upset slightly. She gets her Respect Taylor Swift hashtag, and one of the things that she says has to do with the fact that, wow, basically she's saying, look, Netflix, you had my exclusive documentary all about me, Mrs. American or Miss American, whatever it is. And then she says this, Happy Women's History Month, I guess. Well, this has nothing to do with Women's History Month. And this has nothing to do with being insulting or misogynistic because Taylor Swift has gone through multiple men. Okay, join the club. So have a lot of other women and men. But there can be something wrong about that. And I'm not judging or commenting on Taylor Swift's love life, how many men she has or hasn't gone through, and not even necessarily on whether or not she wrote about them. That's debatable, though. Should you write about someone or share a public story about them when people can piece together who you're talking about, your personal life? Their personal life suddenly becomes public? That's a whole other question in and of itself. But here's a real topic at hand. It has to do with exploiting people and things. So in the media world, you may have heard this before, there's no publicity is bad publicity. Because if someone's talking about you, that's a good thing. So for Taylor Swift, she doesn't care if anyone's making fun of her about her exes. People have been making fun of Taylor Swift's exes for years. But she does care that she is trending on Twitter and that she has a hashtag. So she's using the moment. She's using the hashtag. She's using the lines in these new series on Netflix because they can help her to get ahead in life. So here's where the question kind of comes to the forefront. Should we use situations and people to get ahead? You know, Karen, my producer, said this is when art mocks life because her real life is being made fun of in two Netflix shows, and come on, everyone makes fun of that now. But how do I exploit people? Might be the question opportunity for us to talk about right now. Maybe you exploit someone for money. Maybe you use a family member just because you know that they will buy you things because you know that they're generous. We've seen this done before. Or because you believe that you're going to get their inheritance. Oh boy, when an elderly family member gets sick, the fights that occur between adult siblings is unbelievable. I've seen this happen so many times before. It's so sad. Something to think about before you reach that situation, perhaps. We also will exploit people for our own pleasure and comfort in friendships. But you'll say, oh, wait, I'm a friend with that person. But here's what I think we need to ponder for a moment. Aristotle, the philosopher Aristotle, talked about three types of friendship. And I talk about this all the time. The friendship of utility, the friendship of pleasure, and the friendship of virtue. And there's something wrong if your friendships are staying on the first two levels. That is where the basis of your friendship is how the other person is pleasing to you or how you are pleasurable to them. Or how the other person is useful to you and you are useful to them. Because what happens when the usefulness or the pleasure goes away, the friendship goes away too for one of those people. And so we want friendships of virtue where we're truly trying to do the best for the other person. So much so, you know, one thing, I always say this, it stands out to me. One thing Aristotle says in his discourse about friendship in the Nicomachean Ethics, he actually says that a true friend doesn't complain about the other person, and that any complaint would really be a piece of feedback that is something that that other person could actually change and do something with. Oh, such a good reminder. Such a good reminder to keep your yap shut when other people drive you nuts. I need to hear that probably every single day. I can be a complainer about other people. Would that be gossip? It can be gossip. It definitely can be. But what about when you complain to their face? I really do think complaining can be sinful. It's something to think about. But again, exploiting people. We want to work toward those friendships of virtue, letting go of the utility and the pleasure that we tend to just let ourselves settle into with other people. And I keep thinking of St. John Paul II, his book, Love and Responsibility, before he was Pope, Karol Wojtyla. And he said, a person is an entity of a sort to which the only proper and adequate way to relate is love. A person should always be treated as a person, someone personal. They shouldn't be used as a means to an end, but as Thomas Aquinas and John Paul II reiterates, and many others do, a person should always be considered an end in and of themselves. We shouldn't use them to get to something. And so as we're in the midst of Lent, I challenge you yet again. Here's the latest piece of pondering for us tonight in our examination of conscience. Do you remember what yesterday's was? Tweet me. Tweet me now. And perhaps if you get it, we will share your Twitter handle online. You just want to get your Twitter handle out there, let's be honest. But really, we have to remember this, that a person is always a personal individual and meant to be sought after, not to be used, not just to be our pleasure and our delight in a moment and then tossed away in the next. You're listening to Trending with Timory. If you'd like to share the podcast, or maybe you're listening now on the Relevant Radio app, share this. Invite other people to join and listen. You can also head over to relevantradio.com/trending to get connected on social media. My guest now is Father Tim Grumbach from the Diocese of Los Angeles. And we are going to talk about transhumanism. I'm really excited to talk about this. Father Tim, welcome to Trending.
Hey, thank you so much. And I got to say, it almost makes me a little bit sad to realize it's almost dinner time for you there in the Midwest.
I know.
Yeah, not just because I'm always hungry, but to realize that we're not in the same time zone right now. It strikes me a little bit differently every day now. Thanks for having me on. It's so good to catch up this way, but also just to know that we still get to do this.
I know. It's hard because, Father, you and I were used to once a month, sometimes more often than that, we were working on the show. You drove from L.A., me from San Diego. Mm-hmm. And, over the last year with COVID, we saw each other like 2 months ago for the first time in almost a year. I mean, I think that prepped us for this separation, me to the Midwest.
Yeah. And we had a few weeks there where I was coming down a little often, and it was just so awesome to be invited into your home. And, it's a little gift that the Lord allowed us before this new change. But praise God that he still lets us do this.
So. Amen. Well, let's talk about transhumanism. When I was really kind of pondering this yesterday, I thought Father Tim will have something to say about this. And the direction you went with this, I'm really excited to dive into how retreats can help us overcome this, and we'll dive into that. But let's talk about, what is transhumanism? Maybe you're sick of automation, algorithms, and AI, but many people think that they are the answer to every single one of life's problems. In fact, people are talking about getting the chip from Elon Musk, or some people are totally up for crypto freezing. Are you considering becoming a cryopreserved person? I don't know. I definitely am not. But it touches on a number of things, from what we think about consciousness to what we think about death. And first and foremost, for many of these people, I think that they're afraid of death and they want to live forever. But more than anything, I would say they're afraid of death. So it's both power and wanting to live forever and fear and trying to avoid death. What are your thoughts there?
Well, one of the things that struck me the most was this idea that enhanced man is eternal man, and that it's coming from this fear of death, but without also a healthy fear of eternal life, or I shouldn't say eternal life, but life that extends on forever in a temporal sense, is that they think to escape from death is to live forever in a temporal sense. But that's not what we mean in the Christian mindset of eternal life, right? It does mean kind of being out of time and out of that temporal sense, but it means a life that is lived within a moment of God's love for eternity, so that each moment extends and it both feels like an eternity, but it also feels like just the briefest of seconds. Like you don't want it to pass, but it's just so hard to grasp onto. And that this sense of trying to defeat death through technology and this idolization and absolutization of progress from a scientific standpoint, it's, we're not even talking about the same thing when it comes to defeating death and about eternal life, a life that extends on forever. We're not even talking about the same thing. So that's what strikes me, first of all.
And it's interesting you say that, because I heard someone recently say that, I think it was Steve Bannon, he said they consider these people who are so pro the chip, pro being a cryopreserved person, they really do think about death as a disease, and it's something that they have to conquer. And it's personal. It's actually not about other people. So it's interesting, because a lot of this comes from people who have a lot of money who are running in this direction. And I really think that some people will just say it has to do with power. I think just as much so as it's about power, it's out of fear. And part of it, I think, has to do with the fact that we are so out of touch with death in our lives. Not a lot of people have been to a funeral, let alone a Catholic funeral. People are not talked to about where we're headed after death. And I think that because of that, Father Tim, this is our moment as Catholics. We need to answer a very important question. And that question is death final?
Yeah, and what does it do to us, right? That's one of my favorite prayers in all of the liturgy of the church, comes from the preface of the funeral mass, both in the Latin mass and in the Novus Ordo, is it keeps that beautiful prayer of, for your faithful Lord, death does not end us, but it changes us, it transforms us. And so we have this different experience of death as Christians, right? It goes back to St. Paul writing to the Thessalonians, is that because we have this hope, we don't grieve as the rest of the world does, who has no hope. And so we have this different experience of death, this different understanding of death. It doesn't mean that death doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that we're trying to prevent death from happening at all. Jesus entered into death to destroy it. He didn't snap his fingers and say, okay, death is no more, but he used death against itself. So we have a very different relationship with death as Christians than the rest of the world does. And sometimes that comes out in different devotions and different expressions of popular piety in the church. And one of the things I'm thinking of especially is the Dia de los Muertos in the Mexican tradition especially, is it has this element of knowing that our loved ones live on beyond death, that yeah, it has changed them, but it hasn't ended them, that death's not the end of our story. And so that makes me think of like this mentality of this life that goes on forever, but is no relationship to a creator or a redeemer or a sanctifier. In other words, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that it finds its way into our popular culture. It's not just these powerful technocrats, but it's, there was the movie Coco that came out a few years ago. And as lovely a story as that is about family and remembrance and forgiveness and healing, I was also really quite disturbed by some of the images it gave of the afterlife, as colorful and beautiful as it was, because it gave you this sense of, well, it's just this life, but it just, it goes on forever on the other side. And there's no relationship with a creator. And the other thing was, once people forget you here on earth, you just kind of fade away from the next life. And it's really this terrifying image that I think is coming from this, technocratic, we can solve the problem of death with our technology, because death on the other side is just, it's just like life on this side. And so if we can, skip the death part and just go on living forever here on this side, that seems to be what they want. And, so again, I love Coco. It's a fun movie, but that was some of the glaring problems I saw in its lack of theology and a poor anthropology from a Christian perspective.
Mm-hmm. I keep thinking of various television shows. And even when I was a kid, I remember, so my mom used to watch soap opera. She does not anymore. She gave them up, quit them at a certain point. But I did grow up kind of being exposed to some soap operas. And I remember they kept, they cloned this one. I don't know if it was Days of Our Life or Guiding Light. I think it was Guiding Light. Oh, man. And on Guiding Light, they cloned one of the women. I don't know, remember what her name was. But I remember like how boring she died. And then they cloned her, and all of a sudden she's back to life. I remember when I was watching the show Arrow on the CW years ago, they killed off Laurel, one of like the main female love interests, three-way triangles, all of that. And then they bring her back from the dead, and then I think they killed her again, and the next thing you know, she has, like, in the alternate universe, there's another version of her, and they bring her in. What a boring, boring story.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the reality. Here's why it's boring, Father Tim. Because what's the question to whether or not death is final? This is a question we need to be answering. It is. Your location after death is final. You are judged, and at that judgment will be determined whether or not you go to heaven, hell, or purgatory. And if you go to purgatory, that is a transition into heaven. One day, we don't know how long that will be, but one day you will enter into heaven through that purging. And people have come back from purgatory and appeared to people begging them for prayers. And to them, what was just a night, there's a story, and I don't remember the name of the saints. I need to look it up. But there's a story of a saint and she, or of a nun, and one of her sisters died. She's a mother superior. And the next morning, the nun who had died came back to the mother superior in a vision, and there's flames all around her, and she says, "Why haven't you offered a mass for me yet? Offering a mass for me can make a huge difference. Why aren't you making prayers in reparation for me? It's been forever. You've forgotten about me." And the mother superior said, "You just died last night in the middle of the night." And so, you know, we have to take death seriously, take judgment seriously, and where we're going. And be aware that, again, that location after death is final once we make it to heaven or hell. But people are scared, I think, because they think that they just go off into nothingness when they die.
Yeah, and they want to avoid that. And so they try to find everything, every technological way to avoid that. And that I was just thinking, you know, purgatory is such a gift. Of course, I was also just laughing with a friend of mine earlier today. Like, don't just aim for purgatory, as they say. You know, aim low, you miss low. But what a gift it is to detach us from our desire to stay alive forever in this life so that we might actually live the life forever that God intends for us.
That's Father Tim Grumbach here on Trending. We're talking about transhumanism. What does it mean to be a person? What am I? Or better yet, that might be a better question. And I'll share with you some grungy, crunchy things that some people discuss. We'll be right back. What do you say when your kid smokes pot? Heck, why shouldn't you smoke pot? Actor Seth Rogen is now selling the cannabis online. This is Timmy from Trending with Timmy. Wednesday, I'll discuss what the Catholic Church teaches about marijuana and why does Lady Gaga's dog matter so much. Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmy on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, some of you are getting really excited right now on Instagram. I shared that I am totally a granola mom. I'm totally crunchy, okay? I may be from California, land of the fruits and nuts, but I'm a granola mom, okay? So share with me your best hacks or those things that you think these granola hippie mamas are crazy over, but you've heard about and it fascinates you. Not too weird, okay? I mean, I'm not talking placenta encapsulation, or am I? I don't know. You might be gagging right now. You might be saying, what the heck is that? Did you know that basically, like, all animals in the animal kingdom eat their placenta after giving birth? On the placenta? Because some people are cringing right now, and that's not what we're talking about later. Don't worry. We got it out of the system. But Instagram, DM me. I put a link up on the story, but give us a call. 1-888-914-9149. Prior to that conversation, Father Tim Grumbach is still here with us on Trending. We're talking about transhumanism, how we can rediscover humanity even in the face of this idea that we want the microchip. We want to be crypto-preserved or whatever you are considering because we're afraid of death. But I want to dive a little deeper into this, Father Tim, and talk about how there's nothing new about this. honestly, this is like Friedrich Nietzsche's idea of the overman, the superman, coming to the forefront of the culture right now through technological advances, or should I say attempts.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking it's such a counterfeit of the promises that God has made to us through Jesus Christ, right? That it's the great rallying cry of the early church, and the church all through the centuries and the millennia was that the Son of God became man so that man might become the Son of God. And now this is the human attempt to become godlike without even understanding what it means to be godlike, without understanding what we mean by eternal life. And so I think I'll just throw it out there. It, you know, all this technological advance, as interesting as it might be, is I really believe it's to be a counterfeit of what God has actually promised us in eternal life after this life, the experience of going through death into eternal life because of the cross. And so there's that big question then about who we are, or, you know, we might first say, like, what am I? Looking at the rest of the world and seeing just from the very beginning of creation, you know, the great Hebrew poetry of the creation of the first man, of Adam, you know, Ha-Adam from Ha-Adama, that from the dust of the earth, that what am I? Well, I'm made of the same stuff as the rest of the universe. But we are able to ask a deeper question. It's not just what am I, but who am I? And that means that divine life that's breathed in through the nostrils of the first man and God breathing his life into us, so that our most existential question is not what am I, but who am I? And so I love that we can make that distinction.
And this is the question. And people are, you know, off trying to find purpose and meaning in life. You know, the search for meaning that so many people have. Maybe it's a midlife crisis. Maybe it's considering being a cryopreserved person. But in reality, that question is, who am I? And here's a reality, Father Tim. You're a person. And a person is personal. And they're beheld in the eyes of the Creator. They were intentionally created. But Father Tim, I think that it's hard for people to understand the personal dimension of the person, the intentionality of God, in a culture where abortion is a norm. In this idea that whether you were created intentionally or unintentionally, there's a possibility you could have been unwanted. And with that comes the idea that you are discardable and replaceable. And I think that those two ideas, to be discarded and replaced, that abortion and contraception has brought into our culture, has created a crisis of meaning for many people, and they've reduced themselves to a what rather than a who.
Yeah. And I think at the heart of it as well is how we define ourselves, right? The distinction between a what and a who. And one of my favorite lines from Pope St. John Paul II about who we are is that he was, you know, speaking to millions of teens in the world when he said, we are not the sum of our failures and our weaknesses, but we're the sum of the Father's love for us. And that's usually where people end the quote, but he continued on with, and also our real capacity to be conformed to the image of his Son. So it's not just, you know, we're definitely, you know, this is really important during Lent, is to remember in our sacrifices and our penances that we're not the sum of our weaknesses and failures, but that we're also not the sum of our accomplishments and our successes. Because if we start defining ourselves by those things, we're going to pass away just like those things. But to be the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to be conformed to the image of Christ, which might sound like a lot of words, but it means that Jesus became like us so we can become like him. That's what defines us. That's what allows us to ask the question, not just what am I, you know, my failures or weaknesses or my successes and my accomplishments, but I am who Christ died for, and I am able to become like him because of him. And so that's what that question means to me. It's not just what am I, but who am I? I'm not my accomplishments. I'm not my failures, but I am loved into being.
Father Tim, as you were talking about that, and if you're just joining us, that's Father Tim Grumbach. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray. He is a priest at St. Augustine Parish in the Diocese of Los Angeles. And Father Tim, as you're talking about this idea of being a who rather than a what, when we discuss transhumanism, and that this is the problem. People don't want to live forever. They want to know who they are, but in the search for what, they make themselves just a piece of matter that can be uploaded to a server that can be defrosted in 100 years when the technology is there to live forever or continue on your consciousness. And those are topics that we'll unpack more on this transhuman question. But as we ask, who am I keep thinking of the interpretation of what the word Yahweh means. What God said when he revealed himself throughout the Old Testament. Or even when Jesus Christ blasphemed according to the Pharisees because he said, I am who I am. I am who I am. I am existence itself. So in order for us to understand who am I, we have to understand who he is first. And I think that that is a profound moment that really kind of turns the table for so many of us when we see that faith is required to answer this question.
Yeah, and I just spent a week on retreat just in silence, and part of it was asking that question, and I did a lot of reading through the writings of St. Catherine of Siena, who's becoming just a really great friend and sister among the saints for me. And she kept hearing from God in her beautiful book called The Dialogue, where the Father speaks to her. And he kept saying to her, I am who am, and you are who are not. And, you know, that can totally be taken the wrong way, that like, oh, you know, Catherine, you're nothing. You're less than nothing. And sometimes we have that experience in our relationship with God where we think he just looks at us and wants to crush us. But it's the opposite of that, because Catherine knew that she was created in the image and likeness of God, that she was absolutely, literally nothing, but God loved her into being. And that's what she means when she, well, that's what God means when he says to her, I am who am and you are who are not. And so if we as humans and as Christians could hear God speak to that to us with such love as in, I created you from nothing. You are nothing, but you can be something, not just something, but someone if you see yourself in me. And it's so beautiful to hear those words in that context, rather than this, you know, very dire and depressing sense of like, oh, I'm nothing, I'm not worth anything, but rather to hear God say, you are nothing until I created you out of love. And so it was so beautiful to have that spoken to my own heart during this last week in retreat.
And this reminds me a little bit of child psychology and kind of just the development of the human person. We talk a lot here on Trending about how important affirmation is. And if you don't receive affirmation in those first months, those first days, those first years, it can have a lasting impact because a person is not affirmed in who they are. And being a new mom, I see this in my child. She knows nothing but me. She looks to me for nourishment. She looks to me for comfort. She looks to me to change, you know, her diapers, to get her dressed. I mean, for everything. So at her point in life, you know, she's not contemplating God and contemplating these greater questions, but she is looking to me literally to help her understand who she is through all the functions that she's dependent on me for. And so this question of who am I is always a part of our development, whether it's a physical, intellectual development starting at a baby, or our development in the spiritual and intellectual life of understanding what we are created for and where we will find ultimate peace in God.
Yeah. And so now that we've kind of seen this problem of transhumanism, of not recognizing the beauty of the human person as created in the image and likeness of God, that God died for us so that we might live in him, and that's what eternal life truly is, and that this transhumanism is a sort of counterfeit of the promises God has actually made to us. You know, I suggest that the resolution to this problem of transhumanism is actually as simple as, well, we call it a retreat in our tradition, is taking this time to enter into silence, this time away from, you know, what we mistakenly call the real world. To find that when we go on to retreat, it's about entering into the really real world, into what is most real, and the kind of veil is torn aside, and we get to see what's most real, and that we go up there, and we don't just go up there to stay up there in the presence of God, but rather we go up there so that we can be sent back home with, in our hearts, what is most real, to bring it back into our daily lives. And so I would say then that the solution to transhumanism is actually in the gospel that we just heard this last weekend, which is the transfiguration, so beautifully St. Leo the Great gave the reason for the transfiguration. He said was so that the scandal of the cross might be removed from the hearts of the disciples even before the cross happens. And then even more so is that it's a showing forth so that the whole church can understand what kind of transformation we'd receive as a gift from God. And this is so beautiful. It's this line, he says, the members of that body were to look forward to a share in that glory which first blazed out in Christ their head. And so if we want to look for a solution to the fear and the doubt and the confusion about death that leads to this transhumanism, look to the transfiguration and the promises that God has made to us, that we as part of the body of Christ will have the same glory that the head, Christ himself, has. So that's, you know, looking into the what's really real, that the promises God has for us, and not counterfeiting them with this technology.
And we're talking about transcendence. God transcends all things. He goes beyond. He perfects. He transforms. And the transfiguration is a reminder of that. The fact that we will die and we will rise and our bodies will be reunited to our souls. These are all real things that help us to better understand why people are just searching for transhumanism. And it's funny, Father Tim, because I have a final thought on this briefly. You say retreat is an incredible way for us to kind of combat transhumanism and answer the question of who am I? Well, the culture, the secular culture, is actually getting this right, because they are talking about meditation and retreats all the time. But the problem is that they aren't getting the right type of meditation or the right kind of retreat. And this is where, again, as Catholics, if we're not taking those retreats, if we're not retreating, even if you're busy, even if you have a family, in our small regular ways, then we are going to lose sight of who we are and what we are created for.
Yeah, and you're so right about that, is that on the retreat, we rediscover who we are. And that the world is kind of trying to take a hold of that. But again, that, you know, their meditation, the world's own version of prayer, is kind of about this emptying out of oneself just for the sake of emptiness. But we've always known as Christians that you know, if we're going to empty ourselves out, it's so that God might fill it. If we're going to take the time to retreat, it's so that we might better hear God's voice. For entering into silence, silence itself is just a tool in order to give God space to speak. And so I hope that's something we can all enter into a little bit this Lent as we prepare for the great gift of the resurrection, which is going to point forward to the, you know, God's desire, not just his, like, well, I guess I'm going to raise them from the dead, but his desire, his ardent desire that we live forever with him.
Father Tim, we have a quick question I'd like to touch on before you leave here. The question is from Lawrence in Round Rock, Texas, having to do with purgatory. Go ahead and ask your question, Lawrence.
Okay, I just wonder if the holy souls in purgatory can pray for people here on earth.
Great question. So the church, when we talk about this, we often encourage people, and this is behind one of the traditions, and Father Tim, you can expand upon this. We always talk about how you should pray for souls in purgatory, partially because you get something. When they end up in heaven, they will pray for you. And so that helps us to understand they're being purged of their sins so that they can be before the throne of God and pray for us. Because I think that it's important to kind of understand they're not in heaven. They're not in that presence of God making those intercessions for us yet. And so, Father Tim, if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, maybe we could think of purgatory as this experience of receptivity as well. The purification is a sometimes seemingly painful experience from what we hear from the mystics and the saints, and that it's an experience where they are receiving this purification, but they're not, may not really be in the state of being able to give of themselves the way that they will be once they become saints. And it's not as much about receiving those graces in the same way as it is about fully giving of themselves, as we know the saints begin to express here on earth. But in heaven, as like our dear little sister, Saint Therese of Lisieux, would say, I'm going to spend my heaven doing good on earth. And so perhaps purgatory is more about a receptive experience to prepare hearts to be able to give themselves completely to the Holy Trinity and to their neighbors while in heaven.
That's been Father Tim Grumbach here on Trending with Timory. He will be back with us soon. Answer the question. Give us your mom hacks. Are you a crunchy granola mom? Or maybe do you know a crunchy granola mom and you're really shocked by some of the things they do? Let me know. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149, or reach out on social media. You can find us at relevantradio.com/trending.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Something about myself when I got married, that apparently I'm a hippie and I'm a total granola crunchy mom now too. So we'll be talking about this. If you want to share your life hacks as a parent, especially to a new mom, for doing things, as some people call, the holistic way, the natural way, the hippie way, you name it, I would love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram. You can find my Instagram story at Timory. Just head over to relevantradio.com/trending to connect or give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. So, Texas and Mississippi are breaking the news wagon here. They've said you don't have to wear your mask. And not only do you not have to wear a mask, you can also reopen your business at full capacity. Wow, adults can decide whether or not they wear a mask. And adults can decide if their own businesses will allow people to choose of their own free will if they're going to walk into that business. It's incredible. It's incredible. I'm sorry, but the sarcasm I really do think should be present. We are in our 12th month of this. No, 13th month. 13th month of COVID. It's time for life to go back to normal and to stop spoon feeding you, me, and the other person. Let other people make their own decisions. I think that this is important because we're all about choice, right? Allowing other people to make their own choices. I'm amazed the pro-choice movement just continues to call themselves pro-choice to this day. They're not the pro-choice movement because they are a fan of shutting down choices for other people. Not only the unborn, but also those born as well. And so I think that this is great news. Texas and Mississippi, you don't have to wear a mask. And businesses can operate at full capacity. Allow people to make their own decisions. Yes, there is a virus out there. Yes, people can get sick. Yes, it is more than 99% survivable. Yes, people have died. I've had a family member die from COVID. Maybe you have as well. I've had lots of people I know who have had COVID now. And they've survived. And so it's important for us to not live our lives in fear of the government, in fear of a virus, but also in fear of what other people will think if you don't wear a mask, and in fear of what people will think if you do wear a mask because maybe you are vulnerable and you think that the mask will help you and that makes you more comfortable. So it's important for us, I think, to start to move forward in the face of everything that's happening with COVID. Let's get COVID behind us. Sure, more people will get sick, but let's erase the economic impact. Let's erase the interpersonal impact of loneliness, depression, suicide, physical abuse, sexual abuse, child abuse that is occurring because of these COVID lockdowns. So Mississippi, Texas, people may criticize these two states, but these two states, I think, in the face of, yes, a virus that is more than 99% survivable, they have decided that people can make their own choices. And they've also decided that the so-called answer, the remedy for COVID, is worse than the disease in and of itself. So it's time for us to move on. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. I told you I had a secret for you, and I want to hear your thoughts. I'm a total granola person, apparently. I actually didn't know what granola was until Karen, my producer, was talking about granola people, like, almost a year ago now, and she's talking about, like, granola people and people in Encinitas, and I'm thinking, well, I live in San Diego, and I like to go and eat in Encinitas, and I'm thinking, this is my favorite place to eat, and I'm sitting here really quiet. Actually, she doesn't know this, because the whole time I'm thinking, what's she talking about? Like, I know the people in Encinitas are weird, but they've got great food. And as Patrick would say, those people that shop at Whole Foods, I apparently am more granola-y than I realized, but I'm not like total hippie. You guys, I still wear deodorant. I may wear natural deodorant, and I think my sister likes to tell me that I smell all the time. Maybe I do sometimes because I get to reapply like everyone else on occasion, okay? But also, I don't sweat, and it wasn't until I got pregnant and then had a kid that like these hot flashes from pregnancy and postpartum, they really do get you. And I'm having to learn the habit of actually putting on deodorant each day and multiple times a day, because before, especially in cold climates, I didn't have to. Okay, this is way too much information. Actually, I'm going to share like a really like embarrassing kind of awkward moment. So some of you may know Trent Horn from Catholic Answers. He and I used to host a show called Hearts and Minds together. And I remember we were in studio together one time, and I'm like, oh man, I totally forgot to put on deodorant today. And I thought nothing of it. But the poor guy's like, what do I do with this comment when someone's just like talking in a professional setting about their lack of deodorant? And it's kind of like saying you forgot to brush your teeth. But, you know, sometimes you have no filter and you say something you probably shouldn't say. But I really don't care. So there you go. I'm all into homeopathic remedies. I just discovered that Aldi's has a really great gluten-free Oreo. In case you were wondering, and you are, I don't even think I can say this on air, but people will say call it gluten-free people, glutards. It's totally not appropriate. But if you are one of those gluten-free people, Aldi's has gluten-free Oreos for you. So here's the reality. I really do love the way my mom parented. She used a lot of homeopathic remedies, and she used traditional medicine and things when necessary. I love the way my great-grandmother did things. You know, there are times where a long, warm bath for a baby can do the trick rather than jumping to a baby Tylenol that we're all told is actually really bad for your baby. Yet they still have it available as a product. And it still becomes tempting when you don't know what to do. And I think that this is the challenge for modern parents. There are so many things that people are told not to do, but then they're told, here, this is the easy thing that you can use. It's supposed to be the emergency, worst case scenario, backup. And I'm going to give you one example. So my daughter, she's 2 months old now. She has had tongue, lip, and two cheek ties. And they were very severe, made it really difficult, like next impossible for her to eat properly. She was sucking all this air, vomiting, projectile vomiting all over me. And we had to have them taken care of. The way to do it, you don't just clip them now. They do a laser, it cauterizes it, it's quick, and recovery's super simple in comparison to the clipping. And so the first couple hours she was great, and then she had a couple of really rough hours later in the afternoon after we went ahead with the laser for the lip, tongue, and cheek ties. Well, they said, listen, if you have to use the baby Tylenol to get the baby over the hump, go for it. But we really don't recommend it, especially for an infant this young. And so they wanted to send me home with it. And, you know, you're really told absolutely do not give your baby Tylenol and so forth. And, you know, I don't know where you stand. Maybe you have. Don't feel terrible if you've given your kid baby Tylenol. This is just what I wanted to share, though. So she's at the point she's having a rough time. I'm considering giving it to her. And I think, you know what? Maybe I can just put her in the bathtub with some warm water, a little bit of lavender, help her to relax and see if she gets over the hump in the next few minutes. She totally relaxes. We have like an hour and a half of bath time, resetting the water, letting her just splash in the water. I'm sitting there with her. She sleeps in the water. She totally makes it over the hump, and she's totally fine. And it was a reminder for me, you know, there are ways to do things that might be the quote-unquote hippie way, but it can also be the simpler way. It takes a few extra minutes, it can also be a way that doesn't expose your kid to certain things that you don't want in your kid's body. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's something you don't want to do. So a couple fun things that have come in online, people wanting to share their mom hacks, their hippie mama hacks. Warm garlic oil in the ear for earaches. Actually, this works. It's helped me with ear infections. Also, just making sure you're hydrated. You get enough rest. I was told recently, you aren't able to take a nap during the day? Well, lay down and put your feet above your heart. That will help you to recover. And that's not just something new moms need. We all have some heart health issues as we continue to age. So it's good to work on them. I'll be back tomorrow here on Trending. We'll talk about St. Joseph and much more. What do you say when your kid smokes pot? Heck, why shouldn't you smoke pot? Actor Seth Rogen is now selling the cannabis online. This is Tim Ray from Trending with Tim Ray. Wednesday, I'll discuss what the Catholic Church teaches about marijuana and why does Lady Gaga's dog matter so much. Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.